Indeed, but this is more than cricket. This is a story about WA. And in the studio with me is Andrew Sproul. He's the co-author of Black Swan Summer, the improbable story of Western Australians winning the very first Sheffield Shield. And in their very first season.
That was their first season in, yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You must be a cricket tragic to want to write a book like this. But as I said, yeah. There's a lot more to than cricket about this. This is about the Commonwealth. It's about the right to be a part of it.
100%.
Not 100%. Too dissimilar to what we hear in other circles today debating other involvement in sport. Just take us all the way back. We're coming out of the Second World War.
Yeah. So firstly, you know, we realise that intrinsically cricket books are pretty boring when you're reading about Barry scoring a 50 and it's not terribly readable, but what we've tried to do here is put what WA did into some sort of historical context. So we're coming out of Second World War, so there's a lot of ex-servicemen playing in the side, but also significantly Perth Airport had opened up to civilian use in 44, which meant that combined with cheap ex-military aircraft, MMA and Qantas, I think, could then start doing
flights,
cheap commercial flights, yep, or affordable commercial flights, whereas before, you know, it took 2 weeks and it was really impossible to run and be part of a national comp back
then. So the Sheffield Shield, for those that don't follow cricket, that's like the highest level of domestic cricket that someone would aim. It'd been going for how long before WA got admitted?
Starting off in the 20s.
Right. And we watched on the sideline saying we can't be part of this.
Yeah, well, so it was Australia was selecting all their test players out of, initially it was New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia. Queensland came in a little bit later. And that was their pool so they couldn't pick, there's no test players coming from WA or Tasmania back then.
Yeah, there were good players here. In fact, they were spread throughout the state. I do remember the Don played in Kalgoorlie and got rolled for not much. So that's a folklore story in Kal, and the person that was responsible for it, you might remember the name, I don't. They would live on that for the rest of their life. Who was the person that said, righto, we're going to attack this?
Well, it's various people in the WACA committees were for years trying to get the get a team into the competition. But it was a struggle because occasionally there'd be Victorian teams who'd come across or South Australia on a tour,
yep,
and we'd get smashed by them. So we had no real record of being competitive at first-class cricket.
Yep.
And but as I said, after World War II, things started to make it more feasible and make it real. So but they came in sort of as a trial level, so they didn't play a full home and away fixtures.
Yep.
But they had a complicated percentage thing that calculated how you got your points and who won the games.
It's an intriguing thing to have a look at the way the sport was run back in those days, and probably right through until the 70s and the 80s. It was controlled by some pretty elite people, some
correct,
elite families.
Correct.
And some of the grandstands were named after those people. I think of Bernie Prendeville as being
one of
those.
Yeah, that's right.
Was he a key player?
I think they came in a bit later than that.
So who would have been the driver, do you think, representing WA?
Oh, there's a number of people that. So, for example, the chief player that they got in was a guy, Keith Carmody.
Yes.
And he's a blue bagger. He's from New South Wales.
Right.
And they searched far and wide for various candidates to be that, bring in the captain coach role, which is having a full professional player like that was unusual,
yes,
at the time. But they got Carmody across from New South Wales. It was a lot easier back then because you didn't have contracts, and they split the cost between David Jones and WACA. They shared the cost.
Really?
Apparently back in the day, the old DJ's building would have cricket nets in there.
Is that right?
Yeah. So they'd have.
I wonder if anyone can remember that.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting if anyone does remember that.
So there were cricket nets inside David Jones where you could play cricket.
Yeah, you could have a hit. Yeah. And they do coaching classes.
Odds of someone remembering that is pretty remote, but I'm happy to take your call. 133-882. I can remember the donuts that they used to sell down there at David Jones. I remember that well. This is why it's romantic, that WA, batting against the wind, so to speak, or steering into the wind, they happen to win it.
Yeah, that's right.
In the very first year.
So Queensland, for example, came in the mid-20s, and they didn't win it till the mid-90s.
Yeah,
so they waited 68 years to get a goal.
And we won it in the first year.
And we got
year.
It first year up, which Jeez, is
that would have been
incredible.
Dirty about that. Were they dirty about it? The hierarchy in the East?
Yeah, well, they still didn't pick WA test players regularly until really the little bit in the 60s and into the 70s. You know, right. That's when we really – it set – the guys that were playing here were coaching the Marshes and the Lilies and all that sort of thing and set up the culture.
So the book itself has got some background. The title, Black Swan Summer, they decided that their emblem would be the Black Swan, and I think today that still lives on in some shape or form.
Yeah, I think it does, yeah.
They obviously chose that because it's unique to Western Australia.
Yeah, it's a unique to West Australia thing, and it's just Max was a bit arty with his literary aspirations, so we've tied that in with a whole bunch of other things that were going on.
So what other discoveries did you make whilst researching this?
Well, I mean, so to go back to Keith Carmody, who's the captain, he was ex-RAAF in operating out of UK. He's flying Bowfighters. And they played various tour matches when they were not flying their aeroplanes, and he'd lost 4 opening partners that had been killed in action.
Oh, wow.
Eventually he was shot down in the English Channel, and there was a bit of a race on between the Brits and the Germans to capture him. And he was eventually picked up by a U-boat, I think. And then he was taken back to France and he was interrogated there by the SS bloke. And Keith gave his name, rank and serial number and gave nothing else away.
Yep.
And then this major in the SS said to him, oh, well, it looks like Captain Carmody, you won't be playing cricket at Lord's next week. So they knew exactly who he was.
Oh, really? But,
and then he ended up in a prisoner of war camp for about a year.
I never knew that.
And but basically he was liberated by the prisoner of war camp was liberated by the Russians, and 3 or 4 months later he's back playing cricket again. So
really? So did that shape him as a player and as a coach and sharpen WA?
Well,
there's
a couple of things there. He was his nickname was Bendy because he was had a probably a PTSD or something like that, and he immersed himself in the cricket to get him through it. But he was a great choice as coach because he was a good player, and being kept out historically, I think he would probably got plenty of test caps, but for the fact that was such a strong Australian side at the time, you know, with Bradman, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
But tactically, he was the first one to start. They talk about an umbrella field in cricket. So that's where you got your slips, cordons.
Yes. He was the guy.
He was the one that invented that. So the whole thing, he was the one that was the, if you're looking for a name to who brought it together.
It was him.
Was this bloke. And the team, the cattle that he had to choose from were really very amateur. And that was a big difference too, that they were butchers and plumbers and just normal knock-around
sort of blokes.
But he pulled them together.
Yeah. And so what happened to Carmody in the end?
I think he died young. He did his contract here and went back to New South Wales. So it's all explained in the book.
Yeah.
But in the first game against South Australia, he faced the first ball and he scored 198. And that was... Here we are, boys, we're here to play. Wow. And that set the tone.
198?
198.
How did you get out?
Oh, I don't know.
You have to go back and have a look.
I'm not that good on my recall. Stumped, yeah, thank you. I kept my toe behind the line. But but you look at the walls of the Wacker and the legends and all that, and he's not there. And I would like to think.
Well, he should be.
If nothing else comes out of this, is seeing Keith Carmody up and being rightly held up for what he was, because he's the one that set the tone for WA cricket for 75 years going forward.
I'd love to hear from anyone that can remember him, as in, you know, I saw him play or I heard about him and you're right. If he was the guy, the bloke that actually created, because We went on to be very successful in cricket through the Lily Marsh era, yes, and then obviously yes, in the absolutely. Era that we're in now. And
but also that summer that they, it wasn't just him. It was spread.
Yeah,
he was a great leader, well, tactically, and he led from the front with the bat.
Yeah,
but throughout there was a whole bunch of other guys that stood up and scored tons,
yep.
and did well with the bowling. So it was a real team effort.
Well, mate, all you need is a bit of love and a bit of sex and you've got a movie on your hands, I think, because that's quite romantic, the fact that he's come through as a prisoner of war, then to kind of come over from New South Wales and lead a state that had never won. It's kind of got all the attributes of a great big movie.
Yeah, there are a few suggestions about there's a bit of that. But, yeah, if I was doing the movie, though, I'd because Keith Miller comes.
Yeah. He's your lover.
Yeah, he's the glamorous.
Yeah.
He's got the sports cars and all that sort of stuff. But when we started the project, there was two WA cricketers that would played in the games that were still alive, one passed. And the last man standing is a bloke, Basil Rigg, that lives
in... Oh, Basil, yes.
Yeah. So he talks more about, when I interview him, he talks more about playing in the game against, so after we won the Shield, the Australian side came to Perth before they went, caught the boat to go to England.
Yeah.
That was the Invincibles.
And played?
So that was a full strength Invincibles side. So that was.
Played WA?
Played WA.
And we knocked them over?
No. But I think that was a draw, I think, that one.
Was it?
But Basil's got 50 odd, but he's got sconed by Miller.
Yeah.
And also as a bowler going back into the. In the Shield fixtures, we got smashed by New South Wales when they had all their test players.
Yep.
And Miller scored 150 or something like that, and just poor old Basil, that was his first
time. Basil Rigg, though, was involved with cricket for so long after he finished playing. He coached a lot of players, including the Aldermans of this world and others, and vaguely remember him as a very young boy. Him being quite an influential coach.
Oh, okay.
So I do remember Basil, and I wish him all the best. That's a great read. If someone looks for a present for someone for Christmas, they could do worse than to get Black Swan Summer by Andrew Sproul and your co-author?
Max Bonnell.
Yeah.
He's a Sydney bloke.
So, okay. We won't hold that against. Where can we get the book?
It's coming out at Dimmicks.
Yep.
And there's an independent Theatre Lane bookshop in Claremont.
Good luck with it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's your second book?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right, what's your first one?
The first one was a little bit more serious than this one. It was about the only Australian test cricketer that's killed in World War One.
Right.
He was a blue bagger. He was a New South Wales one. So it's my turn to have one over here.
Yeah, good on you. Well done. Well, there's stories everywhere if you look for it, but I agree with you. If nothing else comes from our discussion today, then maybe someone will do the right thing and recognise comedy.
Yeah, well, thank you. But just one last thing. The other big thing that was happening at the time was India was became independent in August 1947. And they toured Australia in that summer.
Yep.
And they toured Australia. This is their first tour as an independent country. And their first game was against us here. And the tour was, we smashed them. You know, it was a full-strength Australian side.
Yep.
Bradman averaged 180 or something. And it was also famous because of the man-catting incident. That was on that tour. But in the second game... they were leaving, they're coming through Perth, and again, Basil played in that game. And in the second innings, he scored 56, top scored, and we beat them by 6 runs. So
wow.
There we are.
Big effort. And that wasn't the first overseas team to get a lesson from WA cricket in the years that followed as well. Really appreciate you coming in
today.
Thank
you so much, Mills.
And good luck with the book, Black Swan Summer, if you're a cricket lover, even if you're not. Some great yarns, as you heard from Andrew this afternoon. Talk back time, any topic you like. We've been everywhere today. 133-882. You got any money left out of 160 mil? Just a little bit left in the tank. 15 mil, Andrew reckons. If you'd like a bit of it, give us a ring. 133-882. It's 22 past 2.